thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Whatever floats your boat, we'll just wait until the boat floats in on the screens. It's a saying that means whatever brings you joy. I'll just keep speaking anyhow. A woman walks into a butcher's before closing and asks, "Do you still have chicken?" The butcher opens his deep freezer, takes out the only chicken that's left and puts it on the scale, and it weighs 1.5 kilograms. The woman looks at the chicken and at the scale and asks the butcher, "Do you have one that's a little bit bigger than this one?" The butcher puts his only chicken back into the freezer and takes it out again. This time he puts it on the scale, he craftily puts his thumb on the scale pan, and the scale now says 2 kilograms. "That's wonderful," said the woman. "I'll take both chickens, please." The butcher was caught out. His wee trick definitely didn't float his boat. It brought his integrity into question. And rather than bringing a seal and joy into the situation, it simply did not happen. So whatever floats your boat, do whatever brings you joy. Do whatever brings you the most happiness. I'll never forget how I felt that day when I saw Esther as she was walking down the aisle towards me. My heart was beating so fast. The excitement was unbearable. It seemed to take her ages, but eventually there she was standing beside me. I gave her a loving smile and said, "Bring the trolley over, love. They're doing 3 bars of chocolate for the price of 2. Whatever floats your boat. Whether that's biscuits. Where's Sybil? Is Sybil here this morning? Are you? Hello, Sybil. What about the biscuits? You're on a wee diet for the wedding now, aren't you? Whether it's chicken, no matter what weight it is, Esther, whether it's lipstick, I don't know. I'm really in for it when I get home. Whatever it is that makes you happy, thank you for the image on the screen. Whatever floats your boat, joy isn't all that easily obtainable these days. I'm sure you'll agree with me. Can I suggest that having a grounded faith will bring us joy? Having a firm faith and a solid trust in God will float our boat. Having a strong faith that is anchored to the rock, Christ Jesus, will keep us afloat when the storms of life come our way. Before we look at some different scenarios from the boating world, because you see, life is like a boat floating on the water. Let's turn, please, to Luke's Gospel in chapter 8. And we're going to read a few verses that will be very familiar to you, that Jesus and his disciples find themselves in. Luke chapter 8 and verse 22. Just want to welcome everyone on Zoom this morning. There'll be a few people connecting with us. You're ever so welcome. Again, it's lovely to see so many new faces with us this morning. We welcome you so much. We just hope and pray that you'll receive a real blessing amongst us this morning, whether that's for the first time, the third or fourth or fifth time, or whether you're here for 50 or 60 years. We pray that everyone will receive a blessing. I know there's some folks from Castle Derg with us this morning, some people from Dundonald, and perhaps other places that I'm not aware of, but each and every one of you are made so welcome this morning. Verse 22, Luke 8. Now it happened on a certain day that Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling, or the boat was filling with water, and they were in jeopardy. They came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he arose, and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Turn with me, please, just back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 6. We're going to read a portion here that's to do with how Noah was commissioned by God to build the ark. So way back to Genesis chapter 6, and we will pick it up at verse 9. Give you a wee moment just to turn that up. Genesis 6 and verse 9, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man or a righteous man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japhethah. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. And they shall be male and female, of the birds after their kinds, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him. So he did. We thank God for the reading of his word this morning. Boats have played a significant part in the Bible's storybook down through the ages. We've just read, haven't we, about how God supplied the ark to save a righteous Noah and his family, and thus the future of mankind. We think of naughty Jonah, the reluctant evangelist who was thrown overboard by the crew to save the crew and the ship in the middle of a storm. We think of Jesus rebuking the winds and the waves on the Sea of Galilee, restoring peace to the fearful disciples. We think of Paul being shipwrecked on his way to a prison sentence in Rome. And we think of how Jesus called the first disciples after they had toiled all night on their fishing boats, and they had came home with empty nets and empty pockets as well. We think of the Master teaching the multitudes on a boat on the shoreline of the Lake of Galilee. Boats take us on a journey. Boats teach us about life, and boats tell us a lot about our faith. So this morning, I would like us to ask ourselves a few hard questions. And the first big question this morning is your faith like a floating house or a sinking ship? I don't know what sort of TV programs that you watch, but one that we're particularly fond of is Grand Designs by Kevin MacLeod. And I don't know how many years ago it was, a program come up about an amphibious house that was built on the River Thames. That's it there. A building that rests on the ground when conditions are dry, but it actually rises up. The technology that has been put into it, it rises up on its docks, and it floats during a flood. The house itself sits on the ground, and the floating base is almost invisible from the outside. I loved watching that program. I recommend it to you if you've got an hour sometime to probably catch it on iPlayer or something like that. This contemporary floating house, which has unrivaled sea views, can weather any storm because it rises above the waterline instead of being overcome by the floodwaters. It's so unique because it actually uses the elements which are the rising water to its advantage. So it uses what is against it for its advantage. It uses the flood water in a positive way. So rather than letting it swamp it and destroy it. And so we can also, like this house, we can also, if we choose to, we can allow our circumstances and the storms that assail us and shape us to teach us. God can actually help us by our faith, and there was a lot of talk about faith this morning, to rise above our circumstances, just like this amphibious house on the Thames. We think of the passage that we read of Jesus and the disciples, that boat on the Sea of Galilee. I'm sure you're aware, I'm sure you've been told it before, you've read about it. If you've been to the Sea of Galilee, it's a wonderful place. I was there about 5 years ago with a number of pastors and leaders, and one of the days we went to Lake Galilee. And it was beautiful when we set out, and then all of a sudden then it got a bit choppy. And this is what happens on the Sea of Galilee. It's like a bowl because it's surrounded by mountains on every side. And all of a sudden the weather can change and the wind can whip in and there can be a fierce storm even for those seasoned disciples. And so their hearts were filled with fear as literally the boat was filling with water. Of course, we know that Jesus and he was sleeping. What a perfect picture of peace. The Prince of Peace lying in the back. The three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark and Luke, all describe the story of this incident. And only one of them says that Jesus was lying at the back of the boat with his head on a pillow. Just sleeping like a baby. He was in perfect control. And so he calmed the storm, the physical storm, but he calmed the storm in their lives as well. And he can do the same in our lives. He can calm any storm that comes our way. I was thinking early this morning about the Titanic, and we ministered for just about 4 years in East Belfast, and many a time I would have walked from the church. It wasn't very far to walk over to the Titanic area. Sometimes I would have, even in COVID, where you couldn't meet people in their houses, I would have actually gone for a little walk with some of our members and tied in a little kind of pastoral visit, got a wee coffee of course here or there and a wee chat and what have you. A lovely, lovely place to go to. We think of the Titanic, that unsinkable ship. Well, that's what they thought, of course. And it was, the warnings were given to the captain many times, but he wanted it to be the fastest journey across the Atlantic. The unsinkable ship, of course, struck the iceberg. And so as with the boat in the water on the Lake of Galilee, the problem wasn't with the boat in the water. The problem was when the water started to come into the boat. And the same with the Titanic, a tragic, tragic story. And so we can use our experiences in life, just like this floating house, this amphibious house, we can actually use the tests and the trials that come our way to make us stronger and better people. The second big question this morning is your faith like an active cruise liner or an abandoned wreck? This is the galaxy, I'd probably not pronounce it right, but you probably don't know how to pronounce it either, Koi Chang Island. So how active is your faith, or have you abandoned your faith? Maybe not completely. The fact that you're in church this morning, the fact that you're here, that you're fellowshipping with God's people, your faith, however, may not be as strong as it once was. You may not have completely abandoned, but perhaps in your faith, in your journey, perhaps your faith isn't what it once was. Perhaps your faith has perhaps diminished a little bit. Perhaps you're living life more so in your own strength than in God's strength. In this remote Asian island, the Galaxy was once an active cruise liner. And yet today it lies abandoned. It lies stuck in the mud of a tropical laguna. The 7-deck floating resort was once regarded as the most modern floating hotel in Thailand. Not now. No more. It's no more than a relic for tourists to come and visit and photograph and blog about, rather than to board and to sail upon and to dine in luxury. Apparently the reason why it's there is that its owners reportedly went into administration. You see, there's nothing better in our walk with God than being in active service. There's nothing better in our walk with God than being tuned into the Lord and what His will is for our lives. Being in active service opposed to our walk being like this abandoned wreck. There's always more in our walk with Jesus. There's always more, much, much more, because God's business will never ever enter into administration. The third big question to ask ourselves this morning is our faith like an exciting adventure, or is it a graveyard of memories? This is actually a small image of the world's largest watery graveyard in Alang in India. Decommissioned ships are almost always sent to one of two scrapyards. The largest is this location in India's Gulf of Cambat, which recycles more than half of the world's decommissioned cruise ships. And the second is somewhere in Turkey. Folks, God's doing something among us at the moment. God is moving in our midst by His Spirit. I'm sure you will agree with me. And as we've said, it's lovely to see so many new faces with us. It's lovely to see so many new families. And we just pray that you will feel so welcomed here in Ballymoney Elam. And we thank God for the freedom that we have. Mark touched on it this morning when he was leading us. We thank God for the freedom that we have to worship and as we worship Him. We thank God for the new ministries that are being birthed. We thank Him for the creche that's got up and running again, the toddlers group. We would really encourage you to get behind these two ministries. More hands make light work. So the more people we have on the rota, the better it is for everybody. I would really ask you to prayerfully consider a couple of weeks' time when we're going to be praying for people, when we're going to be taking scripture in James, and we're going to be anointing people with oil, and the elders will be praying for them, praying with the prayer of faith. We thank God for new ministries. We thank God for new people. We thank God for the freedom. We thank God for everything that He's doing among us. We thank Him for the exciting adventure that we're on, that we don't want to end. And my question to you this morning is, will you join the adventure? Will you join with us? Will you join with us and receive the blessing that we are experiencing by the grace and the favor of God? Or will you live the rest of your life carried by past blessings, by previous experiences that are now no more than a distant memory in your walk with God? How sad to see some of those, probably some of the most beautiful cruise liners in the world, decommissioned, lying at the bottom of the ocean. And those people who once enjoyed holidays and times on them is simply a distant memory. How is our walk with God this morning? Is it active? Is it current? Are you currently receiving a blessing from the Lord? When is the last time that you had a real, living, experienced by the Holy Spirit in your life? Is it a distant memory? A spiritual memory isn't going to be anywhere near a current move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Our fourth and our last big question this morning, is your faith anchored to the rock or is it drifting aimlessly? This is the MV Alta that was washed up recently on the shoreline of County Cork, Ballycotton. You see, we're an island nation. Apparently the number of shipwrecks in Irish waters is believed to be a staggering 18,000 boats. The MV Alta was built in Norway in 1976, and after about 40 years of active and productive service, one day as it journeyed across the Atlantic to Haiti, mid-ocean, its engines failed and its crew were rescued. The ship was abandoned to the fate of the elements. It was abandoned to the destiny of the seas. Abandoned, towed for a little while, some doubt over the ownership of it. Abandoned again, hijacked by pirates. Abandoned again, left to drift on the ocean currents until it eventually washed up almost 2.5 years later, 4,000 miles later, it washed up in County Cork. Folks, can I ask you a very personal question this morning? Where are you in your journey with God? Where are you in your journey with God? Is your faith, your walk, your call securely anchored to the Lord? Or have you set it down? Have you let things drift? Have you abandoned your calling? I had a conversation with a gentleman during the week about the gifts and the calling of God. They're without repentance. If God gives you a gift, or if God calls you, no matter how long ago that was, those gifts have not been retracted. Those gifts have not been withdrawn, and the calling is still there. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. You see, each and every one of us has a gift or has a talent. And the conversation that I had with this gentleman was that our gifts might be buried, like the talents, that story that Jesus told about the talents, that one of the gentlemen buried his talent and simply took it up again and gave back to the master the talent that he had. He didn't put it to use. But you see, our talents might be dormant, but they're not dead. And there might be a talent or a gifting that God has given you, and that might be many, many years ago, I don't know, or it might be recently, and perhaps you may have set it aside. Perhaps you may have buried it. Perhaps you, in your walk or relationship with the Lord, perhaps you are drifting just like this ship that was drifting for years. As I bring this message into land this morning, what's going on in our lives this morning? What's going on in our hearts as we speak? What's floating our boat? What's bringing us joy? Are you enjoying your relationship with the Lord? Are you excited about what He wants to do in you and through you? I hope and pray that the answer to both is a resounding yes. And if it's not, then can I respectively suggest that you need to do business with God? You need to get back to where you once were in your relationship with the Lord? What's our faith really like when the weather is against us and the wind blows in our face and the enemy of our soul kicks sand in our eyes? When the odds are stacked against us and it seems like we are out of control, are we floating above our circumstances in faith, like that amphibious floating house, trusting in God and God alone when the flood storms and the trials come our way? Or do we let the flood waters put us down like a sinking ship? Are we like an active cruise liner, keeping our heads above water, keeping going on the sea of life, even when the going gets tough? And it does get tough, and I know that it is tough for many at the moment. Or is our faith like an abandoned ship where we've parked it? We've parked it somewhere. Like an abandoned wreck when the storm clouds move in. Are we living life like an exciting adventure, finding joy because we have an active faith? Or is our faith battered and bruised and lying in a graveyard of distant memories? As I've said already, and I mean it with all my heart, God is doing something very special among us, and we thank Him so much for His grace and His mercy and His favour upon us. The big question is, will you join in? Are you ready to become part of this exciting adventure? Or are you just going to live your life with a memory of a distant blessing? Are you going to just drift along thinking of your past experiences? We would love you to join our journey. We would love you to get connected and to get plugged in. We've said about our encounter night, our prayer line, our day of prayer and fasting, etc., etc. And finally, what is your life and your faith anchored to? Because everyone has it anchored to something. Are you anchored? Is your faith anchored to the rock and not to a man? Is your faith anchored to the rock and not to an organization and not even anchored to yourself and your own strength? Or are you drifting like this ship that drifted for 2.5 years and drifted for thousands of miles and eventually ended up washed ashore, broken in two? Pushed and tossed about by the tides of life. Let's pray that we won't drift aimlessly. Let's pray that our lives, our Christian lives, will not be pointless, that they'll not be dreamless, that they'll not be lifeless, that they'll not be careless, without any joy whatsoever, without any feeling of hope. You see, it doesn't need to be that way. We can live the dream. We can live the dream, the spiritual dream that God has sown into our hearts. The dream that God has planned for us. That exciting adventure of pursuing the will of God and the purpose and the plan of God, both in your personal spiritual journey and with us as a church family here in Ballymoney Elam. I pray, and I know that it's the prayer of the elders and the leadership and our church family here, that the answer to both is yes, that your faith will be strong in God alone, that it will float your boat, that it will bring you great joy each and every day of our lives. Folks, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful time spent in your presence here this morning. Lord, we thank you for the worship that has really lifted our hearts and lifted our spirits. Lord, for that freedom that we have of coming into your house, of spending time with you, of worshiping you and giving you praise and thanks for everything that you've done in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the table. We thank you, Lord, for Wesley encouraging us to be discipled and disciplined and be like those early disciples, to commit to the apostles' teaching and to prayers, to breaking of bread and to fellowship. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word speaks deeply into our hearts. And Lord, I appreciate that it's been perhaps a challenging message this morning. But Lord, I pray that in every heart and in every life and in every family that is represented here this morning, Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would have a rich, meaningful and wonderful experience in our walk with you. Lord, I pray that if there's any that have been drifting aimlessly, Lord, that they would anchor themselves in you and you alone. Lord, I pray that we would not abandon our faith, that we would not set it to one side, that we would not bury our talents. Yes, our talents may be dormant, but they're not dead. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to pick up that baton. Lord, that we would run the race with all of our strength. Lord, that we would fight the good fight. Lord, that we would go out from here and that we would spread the gospel of the love and the grace of the glory of God. Lord, I pray that you would do something real and meaningful and lasting in each and every heart this morning. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would be glorified, that you alone would receive all of the honor and all of the glory that is due to your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.